Welcome to Baseball Central, the 14-1 edition of Baseball Central. Just kidding. Jeff Blair and Joe Siddle for your listening and viewing pleasure. Brought to you, as always, by Home Hardware. Let's get the business right away. The Toronto Blue Jays, 14-1 losers to the Boston Red Sox last night. The Jays have made a couple of moves this morning, if you haven't heard. Aaron Sanchez will be called up today, as I predicted last Wednesday on Sportsnet Connected. Aaron Sanchez will be called up today. He'll be pitching out of the bullpen. Ryan Goins is coming up as well. Don't get all worked up about that. Steve Tolleson is expected to go on a three-day paternity leave. So that explains Ryan Goins coming up. And I can tell you as well that the Jays, because of what happened last night in that 14-1 loss, will call up Esmil Rogers purely as a long man tonight. I mean, the thinking is that they may they're a little short in the bullpen right now. So the move of most interest, of course, would be Aaron Sanchez coming up. And Joe Siddle will deal with Drew Hutchison in a minute. But just your thoughts about Aaron Sanchez coming up this soon, pitching out of the bullpen after, what, two relief appearances in AAA?
Why not? Why not? Here's the trade right here. This is an acquisition that you got. This is one of your top arms in your organization. Find out what he has. It's a great way also. They did it with Marcus Stroman and with mixed results from Marcus out of the bullpen. But I think a good way to get your feet wet in the big leagues, not giving him the big start and being the guy. He can come in, maybe throw an inning out of the bullpen, maybe two. We'll see how that goes. But what a perfect time. And it's a good way also to limit his innings. It controls the amount of innings he's going to pitch. Why keep him starting in Buffalo? And I want to say where it doesn't mean anything, but when you can possibly help the big league club at a crucial time.
Right. And you know, the Jays bullpen is in a state of flux. We know Sergio Santos was DFA'd yesterday. I can tell you there's going to be at least two more bullpen moves by the trade deadline, if not after it. I think the bullpen after the trade deadline could look considerably different than the bullpen the Jays have right now. Obviously, there's concern on the part of the Blue Jays. Statistically, the bullpen is among the worst in baseball. So there you go. Aaron Sanchez called up. Not a shock. Once he was moved into the bullpen in AAA, it was just a matter of time. Let's talk about Drew Hutchison. Now, I'm going to give my partner here, Joe Siddle, and his partner in the radio booth, Jerry Howarth, an inordinate, an immense amount of props. Last night, as I'm driving home after doing primetime, saw how Drew Hutchison sailed through the first inning, and I'm thinking, wow, Hutch sailing through the first inning at home. Wow.
He was good.
He was great. Second inning, not so good. Third inning, I think it was in the third inning that Joe Siddle, former catcher, of course, pipes up. You wonder if the Boston Red Sox maybe haven't figured or haven't seen something from Drew Hutchison. You wonder if maybe Drew Hutchison isn't tipping pitches. Now, it seemed to be the case particularly out of the stretch. So I'm driving home. I'm slapping my hand in my head. I'm going, of course, because we've seen this happen. Remember Dustin McGowan? Dustin McGowan during the home opener runs into all sorts of trouble. Mark Mulder, I don't know what Mark Mulder's doing watching the Jays game on TV, but he tweets out, will somebody please tell Dustin McGowan he's tipping pitches? So anyhow, this morning, I kind of get into stuff like this, Joe, the tip, you know, tipping pitches. It kind of intrigues me.
Should have been a catcher.
No. I've got way too much respect for catchers, and B, there's a reason it's called the tools of ignorance, right? the tools of ignorance worn by the smartest people in the game.
Tools of precision.
Tools of precision, exactly. Anyhow, so this morning I get up and I'm beavering away and I fire off an email to somebody in the Jays organization and I say, hey, Joe Siddle and Jerry Howarth both talked about this. The response from the Jays, it's something we're aware of. It's something we're looking at, which I take to mean that Pete Walker and Drew Hutchison are going to sit down and look at some video. And further to the point, it's something the Jays thought they may have seen in his last start in Tampa. So, Drew Hutchison may be tipping his pitches. He lasted 2 2/3 innings, gave up 9 hits, 6 earned runs, no walks, 2 Ks, a home run. I'm going to turn it over to Joe Siddle. This is like a makeup ask the expert segment. Talk to me about tipping pitches. Talk to me about what you saw from Drew Hutchison.
Well, let's preface it by saying that first inning, he was very aggressive with the fastball, two strikeouts of Holt and Ortiz, and he got Pedroia on a fastball in that Dustin got beat on and popped it up. So he was very aggressive with the fastball, and it worked very well. As the game went on, I thought I saw some Red Sox hitters, and I would have to remember, but I think it was Holt, and it was definitely Ortiz on a couple of occasions on fastballs inside, and they just got the head out and fired those balls foul. And they're good hitters. They can do that. If they're looking for a fastball in, that can happen. But I just thought after about the third one, I'm thinking to myself, I wonder if they're seeing something. Because to get to a 93-mile-an-hour fastball, and these weren't fastballs where he was coming in and left him over plate. They were in the pretty good, inner third of the plate anyway. And I remember Ortiz just spinning. He couldn't keep him fair because they were – but and it makes you start wondering. Now, Drew Hutchison was not good last night. He had a terrible night, and he'll be the first one to admit that. He left a lot of balls out over the plate. The movement was clearly lacking, a lot of flat pitches. And you're going to get hit, especially by major league hitters. But it just makes you wonder that he was so good in that first inning. Did they see something? He had a great first inning with the two strikeouts, but – big league hitters do these things. They're in the dugout watching pitchers, and it can be something very subtle. It can be where your glove is. If you're in the windup, you could have your glove in front of your body as you're getting your sign from the catcher, and as you go start your delivery, you could fan your glove out a little bit on the breaking ball. Maybe you don't fan it on the fastball. So little subtleties like that. But big league hitters pick up stuff, and big league hitters look for that stuff. Mm-hmm. And the good ones, that can really help. Now, that's not something you advertise. That would stay in-house and in that Red Sox dugout if that was the case last night, much like we talked about Dustin McGowan earlier in the season. Regardless of whether he was tipping or not, I also mentioned last night that I can guarantee you one thing. Pete Walker's going to be working tirelessly, watching video with Hutchison and trying to figure this out. What was it that he's doing? There's a lot of things in Drew's delivery, in any pitcher's delivery, that you can look at. It can be your momentum going forward. A lot of different things.
Can I just interrupt for a minute, just so we know this? And you're not putting any stock in the home road thing, right? You think that's just, that's fluke? I'll let you get back to your thought, but because I know people are asking that.
I do not.
Okay.
If the season ends and Drew were to throw 200 innings and the numbers were drastically different home and the road, then I'd say there's something to that. I still don't, even though I realize the numbers are totally there. I've spoken to Drew about that just a couple of weeks ago. He just laughs and kind of brushes it off like, no, it's just so that's an interesting
all
point,
right.
But I still maintain that home and away thing. You know, to me, it would have to be, if there's something at home, I would have to say it's the artificial turf and a lot of ground balls are getting through holes. Mm-hmm. The ball travels well, the Rogers Center, he's given up tons of home runs, but I'm not sure it's those two things.
Okay, go back. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I just knew people were thinking, well, maybe a lot of it has to do home and road.
But. And that's not to say it still does have something to do with home, but what I'm seeing is when Drew's at home, and he is making good pitches. I don't care where he's making them, home or away. Same thing on the road. When he's pitching well, it doesn't really matter. But little things, subtleties, and I've chatted with Pete Walker about this, but Hutch is one that has to really stay over his leg, keep his balance over the rubber in his delivery. He can leak forward. When your body drifts forward as a pitcher, that arm trails. When the arm trails, it's working behind. It's lagging. You're going to miss arm side, but you're also going to elevate the baseball, not getting on top of it. So that's one thing. It can be when you come back in your delivery and when you're coming up with your leg up, if those hands come back too far with your body. Very little things, but Pete can pick up on these things, and he'll be looking at these very closely.
And we've talked about this in the past, but Drew is a guy who, and it doesn't mean he's going to not be effective as a pitcher, but he's a guy you have to watch his delivery. And a lot of young guys, you see that, don't you?
I think you do. I think the young guys especially, and when you talk about a Hutchison, again, here's a guy that only threw 35 innings last year, coming off Tommy John surgery. So I hate to use the word raw, but and I know he's pitched in the big leagues before. I understand all that. He has experience, yes, but he's still a kid, and he's still figuring himself out, and he's coming off a major surgery. Now, we know the success rate coming off these surgeries are great. He continues to say he feels good, which is a great sign, because the fact that he's healthy and feels good means that you just got to continue to tweak that delivery. And you know what? This is baseball. Mm-hmm. Major league pitchers, even veterans, have to do that. Sometimes I've seen Justin Verlander sit in front of a computer screen, a laptop, with his pitching coach, Jeff Jones, for hours, tweaking the tiniest little things that can help him perhaps get more bite on his breaking ball or perhaps get on top of the baseball, get a little bit more movement. The best ones do it too. So Drew's a kid, and he's continuing that learning curve is well on its way.
Right, and you know, we need to point out that guys tipping pitches, it can happen to veterans. A lot of them self-correct, but Pat Henkin told me a story about very early in his career when he was with the Jays and Robbie Alomar was with the team. Robbie came up to him one day in the clubhouse and said, do you want to come out and toss with me? I want to loosen my arm up. And Pat's, I don't know why. Yeah, sure, but she has no idea sort of why the Robbie Alomar was.
Get a little one-on-one time.
So they go out in the outfield, and they start throwing, and Robbie said, hey, I just wanted to let you know that I think you're tipping your pitches. And I can't remember the exact pitch, but he showed Pat, he took Pat's glove and showed him how he was seeing the pitch. And Pat said, you know, young pitcher, he's stunned. Now, Robbie Alomar, anybody around that team will tell you, he's without question, one of the best in the game at some of the black arts of the game, stealing signs, seeing guys tipping pitches and that. Anyhow, so Henkin goes up to Alomar a couple of days later, and just out of interest's sake, you know, I appreciate you doing that, but, you know, the one-on-one thing. And Robbie said to him, this game's a business. You know, you might be with another team someday. I might be with another team someday. I don't want to do it in front of everybody else.
Don't want to advertise it.
Which, you know, that tells you sort of, it happens to the very, very good pitchers.
It happens to everybody, absolutely. And when I mention a name like a Justin Verlander, there's many others out there. Pitchers do that. Pitchers find they get into these struggles, and it's a constant game of adjustments. We talk about the pitcher making adjustments, hitters as well. And you talk about breaking down a swing for hitters. Video is a huge part of the game right now, and guys will sit in that room with their coaches and analyze their swings or their deliveries.
Typically, as we await Shai Davidi of Sportsnet joining us, by the way, do relievers, do closers in particular, do they tip pitches as well, or is it mainly starters because the starters just throw so many more pitches?
Well, I think you probably notice it more out of a starter because they're out there for longer.
Right.
And for example, if that was the case last night, Hutchinson's out there for the first inning, so they got to watch 10 pitches. They were mostly fastballs. And as the game progresses, that guy's out there longer and longer. But it's not only just that day. There can be video. I mean, there are videos everywhere now. Every game's televised, and hitters watch the starting pitcher that day on their video screens before the game. They can see this. They can analyze this. And, of course, hitting coaches will do a lot of that. Hitting coaches will analyze that pitcher. Talk to Kevin Seitzer any day. He'll tell you what that pitcher throws, when he likes to go to certain pitches. Mm-hmm. He'll front door it. He'll back door it. He'll make it sink. He'll do that. He knows that pitcher inside and out. So if there's an opposing pitcher that may be perhaps tipping pitches, he will have that knowledge. He will pick that stuff up. Goes for the same for any pitching coach or hitting coach in the major leagues.
And we were talking before he went in the air. I remember last year, Mark DeRosa telling me that we were talking about R.A. Dickey, and DeRosa played for Washington when they had a fair amount of success against Dickey. And I asked him about that, and I think DeRosa actually had pretty good numbers against him as well. And he said, well, you know, he was tipping his pitches. I looked at him and I said, Mark, he throws a knuckleball. Everybody knows he throws a knuckleball. And he said, ah, but he also throws a fastball. And he was doing something when he threw his fastball that he would not do.
And it's pretty nice to know when an 82-mile-an-hour fastball is coming.
That's exactly what Mark DeRosa said.
That in practice.
Exactly what Mark DeRosa said. So there you go. It's something, as Joe said, we don't know what it is that he's doing, but instantly your baseball senses kind of get tingling when you see a guy like that.
I think the antennas go up, but I think most importantly here, I think Pete Walker is going to be analyzing this video with Hutch, and he's going to go over just like you would after any start that doesn't go so well. You know, Drew didn't have his command in Tampa, so it was similar to that. He just doesn't have a feel for the baseball right now. Those are the things I think that are going to be analyzed more than anything.
The Jays and Red Sox, by the way, will play the second of the four-game series tonight. Jay Happ on the mound for the Jays. Jake Peavy, who is 1-8 with an ERA of 4.59 and appears to be on the trade block right now. It'll be interesting to see how many scouts are there tonight to see Jake Peavy. Pitchell, I've got to tell you now, with the Red Sox winning and Tampa Bay making a little move, the Red Sox are, as I look at the standings, the Red Sox are now 7.5 back. They're still 7.5 back. Tampa's 8 back. Baltimore won last night. The Yankees are 4 back.
Adam Jones beat the Angels. Single-handedly.
Toronto's 4 back. I mean, again, if you're the Red Sox, you may be wondering about whether or not you're going to end up making any moves. Didn't get a chance to, or we talked to you a little bit in primetime yesterday about Sergio Santos and about the reason the Jays are sending him down. I thought of a couple of questions, as often happens, Joe, after we were off the air about Santos. Do you think that the Jays still view this guy as a potential closer, or do you think right now it's just a matter of trying to almost save Sergio Santos's career?
Well, I don't necessarily think they see him as a closer. I think Casey Jansen's slam dunk good there. For the future, it's debatable. But I think Sergio's had enough issues this year that I think that's really out of the question. The bigger thing right now is just to try to right what he has been doing wrong and going down. If he does clear waivers, going down to Buffalo. And again, it's a power arm. You always hate to give up on power arms, but we've also seen a lot of power arms that just don't figure it out. Sergio's had success though. And when he has that fastball slider combination working, he can be very good. He's just been very inconsistent. And I think the best case for the Blue Jays is that if he does go down to Buffalo and figure it out, much like the purpose was for Steve Delabarre. And unfortunately that's not going as well, but you hope that it does go well, and he can get back up here and help you down the stretch in hopefully some meaningful games.
Shai Davidi of Sportsnet, by the way, broke the story this morning that Aaron Sanchez was being promoted. I thought he'd be here by the end of the week. I got to admit, I'm surprised he's coming up on Tuesday. Nonetheless, Aaron Sanchez, Ryan Goins also coming up. Steve Tolleson will go on the 3-day paternity leave list, or will take a 3-day paternity leave. And we've also been told that Esmiel Rogers will be coming up, and I wouldn't read anything into that beyond the fact that the Jays need arms after what happened in their 14-1 loss last night. Shai Davidi of Sportsnet joins us on Baseball Central. Hey Shai, what's up?
How much, fellas? How's it going?
Another day in paradise.
Never a dull moment.
You surprised that Sanchez is coming up this quickly?
Yeah, I would have thought they were giving them maybe 3 or 4 relief outings before bringing him up. At, you know, need beckons, opportunity beckons, and at some point you got to stop worrying about getting too cute with things and just let him have at it. You know, the stuff is there. Whether the polish is there, we're going to find out, but it's going to be pretty interesting because the Blue Jays could certainly use the boost that he has the potential to provide.
Shai, is this the arm almost that they would be getting via trade, and it's a little experiment here before the deadline to see if this works, if he's the arm they're looking for?
Possibly. And, you know, Jeff, we talked about this a bit yesterday, but I'm wondering if they're maybe going to get one opportunity, one crack at making a deal before the deadline. And if they're going to do that, they'd rather have it be someone who's more impactful than the bullpen arm. And if you don't have to address that via trade, you can do that internally with Sanchez. It's both cost-effective and prospect capital-effective. So I certainly think that plays into the consideration. But, you know, he's also, right now, for better or worse, probably the best option that they have. I mean, Delabarre had a good outing yesterday. I think he struck out 4 and 2 innings. But, you know, that consistency isn't there. Sanchez didn't work out. You know, beyond Dustin McGowan, who's had his ups and downs, and Aaron Loop and Casey Jansen, how many guys in that bullpen do you have 100% confidence in right now? So if Sanchez can come in and contribute, and again, he's got the stuff to blow guys away, you know, maybe they help themselves out in a very significant way.
Shai Davidi of Sportsnet joins us on Baseball Central. It's Jeff Blair and Joe Siddle. As always, we are brought to you by Home Hardware. Esmiel Rogers will also come up. We don't know who's going down yet. It's pretty clear, I think, that that's a move that's made just simply because of the fact that the bullpen's kind of shot after last night. But, Shai, in some ways, the bullpen has been and I'm not blaming anybody in the media, but we've spent so much time talking about the offense and the lack of offense and the injuries that it almost seems as if the bullpen just kind of quietly emerged as a crisis, didn't it?
Well, you know, back in April, you remember when they gave up the lead in 6 or 7 games from like the 6th point onwards. It was an issue then, and then it stabilized a little bit, but there's been some attrition and thinning out. And I mean, who would have thought that we'd be sitting here at this point and the Blue Jays being relatively in the race with Delabarre in AAA and Sergio Santos off the 40-man roster? I mean, you know, they weren't built to withstand that rate a lot. So, yeah, it's become a bit more of a crisis point of late, for sure, especially once, you know, all the power righties, save for Dustin McGowan, have been eliminated. And they really don't have that consistent late-game option. You know, that McGowan and Loop have done yeoman's work, and Loop really, in some ways, has been quietly terrific, to the point where, you know, you can almost wonder if one day he might be able to close games in the way Casey Jansen has. But is it a crisis? I don't know if it's a crisis yet, but it's certainly an area of significant concern because it's not strong and it's not deep.
Shai Davidi of Sportsnet joins us on Baseball Central. 14-1 loss to the Boston Red Sox, obviously not the way the Jays wanted to start this series. I wasn't down in the clubhouse afterward. What was the mood like down there?
About what you'd expect following a 14-1 game, you know, not very many happy people. I think it was, the thing is that that game got out of hand so quickly that I don't know that it's one that guys would necessarily stew over in the same way as if a game gets away late when the bullpen gives it up. Those ones obviously carry a lot more frustration, a lot more aggravation for guys. And this one, I think they just kind of realized they got their asses handed to them and they're ready to turn the page. But, you know, it's interesting. It's certainly their worst loss since the 15-4 drubbing that Cleveland laid on them back in May. And that ended up being a bit of a spark. They ended up winning 12 of their next 13 games, getting on that good run. And it was a different team then. It was a different lineup then. But I think it's going to be very interesting how the Blue Jays respond to this, given the series and given the opponent and given the situation right now.
What is your sense as far as the injured players and their timetable for return? I got the idea from hearing Alex talk yesterday that Lind and Edwin are likely going to be ahead of Brett Laurie. Is that sort of the Cole's Notes version of it?
Yeah, it sounds like it. It sounds like they could be in rehab games end of this week, early next week. You know, I'm always leery of kind of taking too much stock in the timelines, you know, until guys get out there. You know, they can have cutbacks, they can push too far and then reset themselves, or they can move along. But, you know, I think a rough guideline, we should expect early August returns for all three, staggered perhaps. But, you know, before then, I'd be very surprised if that happened because, you know, they're all at the point where they need rehab assignments, they need some at-bats to get their feet underneath them, because the last thing you want to do is bring them up with the team, you know, either in not necessarily crisis mode, but in, you know, in a state where wins are at a premium and there's an immediate pressure to produce. I mean, that's not a great way to reacclimate them to the big leagues and say, hey, produce right now.
Shai, have any of these moves today been confirmed in terms of the current Blue Jay players that are going to be moved? We've heard about Steve Tolleson potentially going on a paternity leave, but is anything confirmed? If not, what are you anticipating?
I would anticipate it later this afternoon as guys start getting to the ballpark and, you know, they deliver the news to them. I would expect them to announce it, I would say, probably 2, 3, 3.30-ish. But, yeah, nothing's confirmed yet. I've heard the same suggestions about the Tolleson paternity leave, which would certainly make sense as to how Gomes would fit into the picture. But everything else will become official later this afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, there's four lefties in the bullpen, so you would think that maybe one of those lefties would end up being moved out. I you know, the Rogers thing, I don't know who gets moved there, frankly.
Well, I mean, you know, I wonder, and this is pure speculation, but, you know, Rogers takes Brad Knowles' spot in the long relief role. And Aaron Sanchez maybe jumps in for Rob Rasmussen, who's probably going to be down for 2 or 3 days anyways after his long outing yesterday.
Right.
So, you know, that not necessarily the most fair scenario for Rasmussen. He did a pretty nice job yesterday. But, you know, I wonder if that might be how it plays out.
Shai, we're going to let you scoot. It was good of you to join us.
Anytime, fellas. See you tonight.
Take care. That is Shai Davidi of Sportsnet joining us in Baseball Central. So there you go. You're at that time of year where you're just making moves, trying to find something that will work on that particular night. You know, Aaron Sanchez, obviously we talked about the reasons for bringing him up. It's a means of A, getting a power arm in a bullpen that appears to be in fumes right now, but also it's a way of monitoring Aaron Sanchez's innings without just totally shutting him down. And, you know, and it gets back to the old story. I mean, how often have we heard from guys like Pat Henkin and other guys, this is how we started, right? You got your feet wet in the bullpen, and then you transitioned into the rotation. You know, and some teams like the St. Louis Cardinals a couple of years ago, they didn't waste any time transitioning their young guys, and they ended up winning a World Series with it.
Well, why not? Why not? It's time for Aaron Sanchez, and I saw him for the first time this spring training, and he was just absolutely outstanding. And I know he's had to struggle throughout the season, and his control issues are always going to be there. Hey, he's a hard-throwing guy, and the ball moves a lot. You're going to walk people. So hopefully he can continue to work on that, but why not bring him up here? This could be that little lightning in a bottle. It could be this great power arm that might just do the job out of the bullpen. But there's only one way to find out. Why have that wasted down in AAA when the need is here now in the big leagues?
Yeah, and Ryan Goins, again, that's self-explanatory. If Steve Tolleson goes on the three-day paternity leave, Ryan Goins has been doing okay in AAA. Unfortunately, he doesn't address the crying offensive need, which is somebody that can handle left-handed pitching.
Yeah, and Ryan had his struggles up here. He got a great opportunity, and he plays just tremendous defense, but you have to hit a little bit, and he just struggled too much. It looks like he's gone down to AAA and tried to sort that out a little bit. But again, that's AAA. This is the major leagues. It's two different animals. And again, we'll see if he can. If he can hit a little bit, he'd be a great addition because of the great defense that he plays. You know, you really miss Brett Laurie. I think the longer Brett Laurie is out of this lineup, not just offensively, but on that field defensively, and balls that just some people don't get to.
Yeah, no, it's his absence is noticeable. There's an obvious lack of energy too. We've talked about this when Brett Laurie's not out there. Just taking a look around the minor leagues, the Bisons, AAA Bisons, beat Lehigh Valley 11-4 in 10 innings. Liam Hendricks started. He got no decision. Steve Delabar got the win. Ryan Goins had two hits. So did Kevin Pillar, who has got to be up here at some point soon. Brett Wallace had three hits, and A.J. Jimenez had three hits as well for Buffalo. And at AA New Hampshire, the Fisher Cats lost 8-5 to Trenton, but Dalton Pompey, center fielder, local kid, had two hits for the New Hampshire Fisher Cats. So he's continuing to find his way through this Blue Jays organization. And New Hampshire getting a two RBI performance from Matt Newman and three RBIs from second baseman Kevin Nolan. So there you go. That's went on in the minors. The Dunedin Blue Jays beat Bradenton 3-0. Lansing, the Lugnuts, lost 2-1 to Clinton, and the Vancouver Canadians beat Tri-City 10-6. Masahiro Tanaka and Yu Darvish had a meeting in the tunnel before the Rangers and Yankees series. You know, Masahiro Tanaka is injured. No indication yet whether or not he needs Tommy John. But Masahiro Tanaka is injured. He's out for a long time. And Darvish and Tanaka had a long discussion. And David Wahlstein of the New York Times ended up cornering Tanaka and talking to him. And essentially, Tanaka told, or Darvish told a group of Japanese baseball writers at the All-Star game that he thought one answer to the crisis surrounding pitching in baseball, to the plague of Tommy John surgeries, he thought one answer to it might be a six-man rotation, which is the way things are in Japan, where essentially as a starting pitcher, you pitch once every week. Now, the comments got wide coverage in Japan. They've sort of surfaced now. David Wahlstein talked to him, and, you know, Darvish was kind of noncommittal. But, hey, we've been searching for answers to the plague, and I think we can call it a plague of Tommy John surgery in the major leagues. Nobody's managed to come up with anything better than the six-man rotation. So perhaps it's something that Major League Baseball ought to look at. And Yu Darvish said, look, I mean, there are some issues with it. You would probably have to expand the roster. You know, it's not something you could do overnight. Joe Siddle and I are going to mull that over. We're going to talk about it. And David Wahlstein will join us. There you go. When Baseball Central continues on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Network.
Cooler than Math Club and almost as cool as Chess Club. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Now, back to more Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Welcome back to Baseball Central, brought to you by Home Hardware, Jeff Blair and Joe Siddle on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Network. Game 2 of the Red Sox J Series goes tonight at the Rogers Center, 7:07 first pitch. You can catch the games, all the games, only on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and Sportsnet. But it'll be Jay Happ against Jake Peavy as the Jays attempt to rebound from that 14-1 shellacking last night. Came across an interesting story this morning on the New York Times on the New York Times website. You know, we've talked an awful lot in this show about pitching injuries, Tommy John surgeries, shoulder injuries. And we've had people on, experts, and they've talked about what Major League Baseball may or may not or should or should not be looking at doing in order to try to correct this epidemic of arm injuries. And we've talked about everything from enforcing pitch limits in games to obviously changing the way pitchers are developed in the minors to diagnostic testing. Some people like diagnostic testing at the ballpark. I don't know how that would work. Yu Darvish at the All-Star game told a group of Japanese reporters that he thought maybe it was time to start looking at the possibility or start looking at the idea of six-man rotations. In Japan, where, of course, Yu Darvish and Masahiro Tanaka are from, pitchers can work once a week. And Yu Darvish made the point that this is essentially him blue skying, that it would take, a huge change in mindset on the part of North American baseball to accept this. But you know what? At this stage, why not at least look into it? And it's certainly worth having the discussion. David Wallstein of the New York Times wrote the story as a result of a meeting between Yu Darvish and the injured Masahiro Tanaka. And David Wallstein joins us on Baseball Central. David, thanks so much for doing this.
You got it, Jeff. Anything for you.
A terrific story, man. How did you find out? I presume this was a big deal in the Japanese media. Obviously, it's kind of rare, first of all, isn't it, that you get a Japanese player or pitcher sort of making a big picture statement about anything?
Yes, that is true. They do sort of tend to shy away from making any bold declarations. And in fact, Darvish, when I asked him about it yesterday, was reluctant to talk about it. But I had someone, he acknowledged that, yes, he does believe in this, but he said, I already discussed it, so I don't want to talk about it again.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why that would be the case. But anyway, I had somebody translate what he had said, and I also talked to Colby Lewis, the Rangers pitcher who pitched in Japan for 2 years, and he agreed wholeheartedly that that extra day or two of rest makes all the difference. And that's what Darvish explained. He said, pitch count, it's not an issue of pitch count. They could go 120, 140, no problem. It's that extra day of rest to get all the inflammation out of the elbow, maybe extra day or extra 2 days. He believes that that's the key. And, I ran it by Bobby Valentine, who managed in Japan, of course, and he also agreed. And Bobby pointed out that what happens here is with day games, that supposed 4 day rest is really 3.5 days rest.
Mm-hmm.
And that really puts a strain on it. And I agree with you, Jeff. It's maybe that's not the key, but it's become such an epidemic. Why not try it? Somebody should try it. I think they will. I think we might get to it where somebody tries it and sees what happens.
Well, I agree, David. I think we've gotten to a point something needs to be done. And I still look back. I mean, my gut still tells me all the science and research that we continue to see comes to overuse. You're talking about rest. It's a little bit one in the same. But when I talk about overuse, I'm talking about not with major league pitchers. What about dating back from when they were 12 years old? They were the best player on the team. They were the best player in high school, perhaps college. They're used a lot. And is there really any way to look back at that and how much these pitchers have been used since they were kids, quite frankly?
Mm-hmm. Yep. I think that's the case. And you know what? Especially in Japan, there is a culture of throwing and throwing and mm-hmm. throwing and throwing. And there is a theory that what happens is, and Daisuke Matsuzaka is a great example of this, and I guess maybe now Tanaka, that they throw and throw and throw, and then, you know, they do well, they come here, and it's just that thing was ready to go. That ligament is ready to go, and it goes once they get here. Maybe the switching to the five-man rotation and pitching every fifth day is kind of accelerates the process or is a catalyst for it. But that could be the case. Let's also remember that Tanaka in the Japan series last year, game six, he threw 160 pitches, okay?
Wow.
The next day, he threw 15 pitches to get the save in game seven. I mean, that's borderline criminal.
Yeah, that's absurd.
And you know, the Yankees knew that. They signed him. They were not happy about it. They thought it was, you know, an outrage, but they were already planning to get him. And so maybe that contributed. The thing about it is, and you know, they, a lot of doctors studied it and they have theories and everything. Nobody knows exactly why it ever happened.
Mm-hmm. David Wahlstein of the New York Times joins us in Baseball Central. As you point out in the article, and this is at the All-Star Game in Minneapolis, Darvish told Japanese reporters, quote, if you really want to protect players, we should add one more spot to the starting rotation. As you point out, in Japan, teams play 6 days a week with every Monday off, and they use six starters. There are 28 players on the roster, and managers pick three ineligible players before each game. One of those usually includes a starting pitcher who was thrown in recent days. And that of course, is the pattern that Tanaka was used to before he came over to the majors. That makes a lot of sense to me, to be honest. Yeah. It really does.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. I think it's worth a try. It's certainly worth a try. And especially now that, you know, hitting is down, you worry too much about diluting your pitching staff. But, you know, the game is in favor of pitching right now. Maybe baseball should look into encouraging teams to, you know, through some kind of roster expansion, encouraging teams to try this, because it certainly got to a point where we need to try something.
And to that point, I think that those roster changes could benefit position players as well, because we're talking about arm injuries with pitchers, but there's other injuries to position players that are rampant too. How many hamstrings and quads and calves and obliques have we seen this year?
Rampant
throughout the major leagues. Perhaps that's a good idea too, even for position players. You look at this roster right now, we're here with the Blue Jays, and there's guys like Malky and Jose. These guys, they can't give them a day off.
You know, Darvish also said some other really interesting things when he spoke at length with the Japanese writers. And that was, he said the ball in the United States is, each one is different from the next. And you know, we might not be able to tell that, but pitchers, they pick it up and they can tell. Seams are a little higher, the ball's a little, you know, slicker. And he was talking about that. He said it tends to be more slippery, and pitchers may grip it harder to try to get a better grip. That may contribute to it. He also pointed out that somebody asked him if he thought Tanaka's injury was due to throwing a splitter. And he said no, that he actually thinks a changeup contributes more to that problem because the ring finger is more involved in the changeup. And I don't know if this is true. I didn't write it because I would have had to like check it with a doctor. But he said the ring finger is connected to the ulnar collateral ligament, the one that tears and requires Tommy John surgery. He said so that finger is more in play on a changeup than it is with a splitter. But then at the same time, I think he's actually thrown some fewer splitters himself this year, and maybe because he does think there's some link with that. Valentine also, of course, had some interesting theories. He thinks that, you know, the mound is a lot softer in Japan.
Yes.
He thinks that the harder mound contributes to arm injuries, and he acknowledged he has no way of, you know, it's just a theory he has. It hasn't been tested out or anything. But he thinks that the hard landing then translates to a greater force on the elbows.
How about the slope of the mound?
Yeah, I think it's the same. He didn't mention that. I think he would have.
Or the height.
I think that would have come up. I think the slope and the height must be similar. Otherwise, I think that would have come up before.
Interesting.
Listen, David, it's a fascinating story. It's on the New York Times website. Ace favors fewer starts to protect pitcher's arms. Thanks so much for doing this. Take care of yourself.
You too.
Thanks, David.
We'll see you. David Walstein to the New York Times. It's really a fascinating article. And you, Darvish, just throwing it out there. I mean, if we're having the discussion, you, Darvish, is saying, why not look at a six-man rotation in Japan? 28-man roster, three ineligible players declared before every game. One of them usually a starting pitcher who's worked recently. You know, it's I would say, I don't know how you would do it in Major League Baseball, but I'd love to see, I mean, give it a spin for a year.
Have to get the owners to buy into that one, right?
Well, you know, hey, the Jays, how many players, the Jays have had like, with injuries, have basically had a 39-man roster this year, right? So if you can carry 28. But it's an interesting discussion to have, and it's kind of...
It is a fascinating topic because this whole Tommy John thing, it's an epidemic.
Yeah, and you're right. You can't... it doesn't matter how good a scout you are or how much information you have. You don't know how someone was used when they were 15 or 16 years old or even 17 or 18 years old. But this may be a way to at least monitor guys when they're in the majors.
Well, and I think it's addressing a problem that is here at this level, and that's all you can do. You can't retract the past and their health histories.
Yeah, it's a fascinating story. And again, David Walstein of the New York Times. You can follow him on Twitter. His Twitter handle is at David Walstein. A little bit of news, by the way. We talked, obviously, about Ryan Goins and Aaron Sanchez being called up today, and Esmiel Rogers will also come up. We don't know what the resulting move is for that. John Heyman of CBS Sports is reporting that the Toronto Blue Jays have talked to the Texas Rangers about Alex Rios. Now, we know that Alex Rios is very much available. We also know that he fouled a ball off his foot or turned his ankle on the weekend and left the game early. But Alex Rios is available. He might address some of the issues that Jays have against left-handed pitching, and probably wouldn't cost a great deal to get him. So there you go. John Heyman of CBS Sports reporting that the Jays are interested in Alex Rios. And Joe Sill, hey, why not? They're interested in everybody.
Well, you have to keep that blanket open right now, and that's the thing. You're trying to get better any way you can. This deadline is creeping up. But again, we talked about it yesterday. The deadline isn't the hardcore deadline. Mm-hmm. Things can happen throughout the month of August, and could just kind of see how things pan out here in the next week or two.
Yeah, and I really do believe, and I think Shai talked about this. Shai Davidi talked a little bit about it when we had him on. I think Alex has one move to make, and he's got a lot of things he needs to address, but I think he's going to try to address a lot of those things after the deadline with those recallable or those trade waiver claims. And I see him doing that and maybe making one actual trade before the deadline. But, you know, we talked about it. The Jays' bullpen needs work. I think you might like to have another starting pitcher here. I don't know if that's doable. And you clearly need a little bit more offense as well. But we'll see where it goes. So John Heyman reporting the Jays are showing interest in Alex Rios. For Shai Davidi, Joe Siddle, and David Waldstein, I'm Jeff Blair saying thanks so much for joining us on Baseball Central today. As always, we are brought to you by Home Hardware, and we're on the Sportsnet Radio and TV Network. Don't forget, Jays and Red Sox, second of a four-game series tonight. First pitch is at 7:07. Mr. Siddle, Mr. Howarth, and Mr. Wilner
will be there.
We'll be calling the game for you guys. Take care, everybody. Have a great day.